Good morning and welcome to Simply Mars. It's Saturday, May 4th. On today's show, NHTI students are learning to grow crops on the Moon and Mars, and long ago, a lake on Mars might have been sprawling with microbes. Plus, stay tuned for more exciting news from the Red Planet. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Mars. We start off with an interesting challenge: how to feed humans on long-duration missions to the Moon and Mars. NASA and commercial companies are not only working to return humans to these destinations, but also figuring out how to grow crops in the unique soils of these extraterrestrial environments. Here to tell us more about some fascinating research in this area is our space correspondent. So what exactly are these Plant the Moon and Mars challenges that NASA is running?
These are really interesting global citizen science projects that aim to help NASA learn how to support astronauts on extended missions to the Moon and Mars by growing edible crops in lunar or Martian soil simulants. Teams of students, like those at NHTI, Concord's Community College in New Hampshire, are participating in the challenges to study how various plants grow in regolith, which is the loose rocky material covering the surface of the Moon and Mars.
What kind of challenges do the unique properties of this regolith present for growing crops compared to Earth soil?
Well, the regolith on the Moon and Mars is very sandy and nutrient poor compared to the organic-rich soils we have on Earth. It also doesn't retain moisture well. So the NHTI teams are looking at using additives like vermiculite, which is a mineral commonly used in gardening, to help the soil hold onto water better when it contains a high proportion of regolith. Figuring out the right ratios and conditions to successfully grow crops will be key for future long-term habitation.
And what crops are being tested in these particular experiments?
The NHTI Plant Mars team is attempting to grow cabbage, while the Plant the Moon team is working with radishes. These were chosen based on the suggested timelines from NASA to allow growth and harvesting within the competition period. But a variety of crops would ultimately need to be grown to provide a balanced diet for astronauts. The teams are also considering other constraints, like using lightweight recycled materials to minimize payload costs.
It's fascinating research that could be an important step towards making long-term Moon and Mars missions feasible. When will we see the results of these crop growth experiments?
The winning teams will have the opportunity to present their findings at a virtual symposium with NASA scientists and officials in a few months. Successful techniques could eventually be implemented and further tested in future Moon and Mars habitats. It may still be a while before we're producing fresh salads on the surface of Mars, but these student researchers are sowing the seeds to make that a reality one day.
Thanks for the report on that significant step in extending humanity's presence in the solar system. In other space news, NASA's Curiosity rover has made a fascinating discovery on Mars that could point to the Red Planet once being home to microbial life. The rover detected significant amounts of manganese oxide in the bedrock of an ancient lake that existed billions of years ago. Here with more details is our Simply Mars correspondent. So what exactly did Curiosity find, and why is it so intriguing?
Curiosity discovered unusually high levels of manganese oxide in mudstone rocks that are part of what's called the Murray Formation. This geological feature is found on the slopes of Mount Sharp, a mountain in the center of Gale Crater, where Curiosity landed in 2012. Previously, the rover had only detected small traces of manganese oxide. But this latest finding shows a much greater abundance of it in the ancient lake bed sediments. The presence of this compound is very exciting to scientists because on Earth, manganese oxide typically forms in an oxygen-rich aquatic environment with the help of microbes. So its existence in Gale Crater's former lake strongly suggests that the lake contained not only liquid water, but also had conditions favorable for life.
Hasn't Curiosity already found evidence that Gale Crater used to be a lake? How does this new finding of manganese oxide build on that?
Yes, Curiosity had previously discovered other signs that Gale Crater once held a lake, such as the presence of certain clay minerals that form in water. However, some researchers have questioned just how extensive or long-lasting this lake was. The high manganese oxide levels in the Murray Formation help confirm that the lake was a relatively long-lived feature that persisted for millions of years. The lake bed sediments containing the manganese oxide were likely deposited slowly over a long period. Importantly, the manganese oxide also indicates the lake water was highly oxidizing, which would have been a key ingredient for life.
So if this manganese oxide on Mars formed the same way it does on Earth, that would imply the Martian lake was once teeming with microbes.
It's certainly an intriguing possibility. On Earth, certain microbes convert dissolved manganese into manganese oxide as part of their metabolism. The manganese then precipitates out of the water and gets deposited in the lake bed sediments. So when scientists see significant manganese oxide deposits on Earth, it's usually a sign that the body of water supported a lot of microbial activity in the past. Of course, we can't say for sure yet if microbes were involved in forming the Martian manganese oxide. It's possible there could be other explanations that don't involve life, but it's a compelling hint that Gale Crater's ancient lake had the right ingredients to be an abode for microbes.
What are the next steps for investigating this further? Will Curiosity be able to find more definitive evidence of past life on Mars?
Curiosity will likely continue studying the geology and chemistry of the lake bed sediments to look for additional signs of a habitable environment. But to really determine if microbes once lived in the lake, we may need to get Martian rocks back to Earth for detailed analysis. NASA's Perseverance rover, which is currently exploring a different ancient river delta, will be collecting and caching samples for an eventual return to Earth. So down the road, scientists could search those samples for microfossils and other biosignatures that would be the smoking gun evidence for past life on Mars. The manganese oxide finding from Curiosity is an exciting development, but there's still a lot more work to be done to solve the mystery of whether Mars was once inhabited.
Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for that report and analysis. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Mars. We'll see you back here tomorrow.